Well, we learned a lot about which teams love which players yesterday as the deadline for franchise tag players to sign long-term deals came and went. Derrick Henry will be with the Titans for years to come. Dak Prescott did not get anything done with the Cowboys. Go look and win, go ESPN Radio, ESPN News, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Jason Fitz in for Trey, sitting with Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr. And there's been a lot of conversation this morning about the fact that you two don't have working Twitter right
we
now.
We do not.
Okay, so, you know, Twitter yesterday went on lockdown due to some hacking. People with enough of a profile apparently were blocked out of Twitter. I did not make that list. But I'm a little envious of you because Pete tweets us and says, why is anyone stunned the Cowboys didn't sign Dak? They offered him what they thought was a fair five-year deal. He didn't take it. We've spent hours talking exactly why we're surprised. So, like, if you haven't heard it over the last several hours, I can't do it in 140 characters. Yes. You guys are lucky you don't have Twitter.
We wish it was all that simple. Well, they offered it what they said was the fair deal. He didn't take it. Okay, that's it. I mean,
you have 280 characters, Jason.
280 yeah. characters.
I just want to make sure you know that.
You know what sucks is somebody's going to tweet me and remind me that I was wrong about my character limit.
See? Like, you could be you, or you could be me over here, sitting here just giving out takes with no sort of recourse right now. No one can
I'm just going to have to wait for you to get back on, then you can explain to me how that happened so then I can get back on. Because other than that, I'm lost.
This is the funny part about this is my dad has no real earthly desire to tweet. Like, you can know he gets on like every 3 days because it's a rash of like 8 tweets or responses to tweets all at once. And now all of a sudden that it's been taken away from him. He's like, I want this now.
You know what I like about it the most is the news, is stories, is things like that, which I can get on, I guess, online as well. But that's what I liked about having the phone around is stories I could just pluck out and read. Now I got nothing.
Well, now instead of spending your time looking at Twitter for news, you can check out 30 for 30 podcast in association with ESPNW. We present the latest series, Heavy Metals, Inside the Caroli Gymnastics Empire. The 7-part series tells the story of Bella and Marta Caroli, the coaches who brought women's gymnastics in the U.S. to absolute dominance on the world stage and also enabled its greatest tragedy. Listen now to all 7 episodes of Heavy Metals Inside the Caroli Gymnastics Empire on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can spend your time podcasting.
I'll do
today.
That. There you go.
All right. Well, anybody that was looking at Twitter yesterday was trying to figure out what NFL teams are thinking and how they're moving forward, and obviously a lot of reaction. So let's get some reaction from one of our favorites. ESPN NFL analyst Ryan Clark joins us now on the Shell Penzoil Performance Line. Ryan, thanks for the time this morning, man. We appreciate you. So now that we know that there's no deal for Dak, in your mind, what do the Cowboys and Dak look like moving forward?
I think for this year, they look like a team that has an opportunity to win the NFC East. You look at the number of weapons they've assembled around Dak Prescott. They have him for another year. Now you have to see if that defense can take a step forward on the back end. And I don't think this becomes a problem on the field for the Dallas Cowboys. But I think this is a locker room problem. When you look at this team and having an owner who said, listen, my hand doesn't get cramps when it's time to write checks. A guy who overextended himself for a running back that was hanging out in Cabo, made him the highest paid running back of all time at that time. And so when you see a guy who's willing to break the bank for everybody else, willing to overextend himself for everyone else, and now you look at a quarterback that you got off of the clearance rack at TJ Maxx for the last 4 years, and you don't want to pay him or you don't want to give him, I guess, the little extra that he wanted on top of what you were offering him because he is your franchise guy, because he said and done all of the right things. I think that permeates throughout your locker room, and there's going to be a little blowback from that. I think there's going to be some consequences. There's going to be a little loss in chemistry in that building, and you have to see if Dak Prescott, which I think he will, can be professional enough to continue to say the right things, which he already has about the franchise tag, continue to work the right way, and get this team to where people thought they would be last year, which was a contender in the NFC.
Well, along those lines, where is the line for Dak on where he needs to lead this team to where he can just look at Jerry and say, you ready to do the deal now?
I mean, I think this team has to get to an NFC championship when I look at it. Because when this team was assembled last year, when we looked at this team on paper in the offseason, many people thought that they would make a deep run. We definitely all thought that they would win the NFC East. But let me say y'all, because I said they'd be like a 10-6 team at best. I was a little bit off there. But I think that this team has to make a deep run into the playoffs, has to get to the NFC Championship, so Dak Prescott can say, look, I can not only give you franchise quarterback play, but I can give you championship caliber play. And I think that's what Dak's going to have on his side in order to convince Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones to give him the type of deal that he wants, the type of deal that he is seeking. Other than that, I think they'll always hold it against him that 32 teams didn't think he was draftable until the fourth round. They're going to hold it against him that they actually wanted Paxton Lynch before they had to settle on Dak Prescott in the fourth. They're going to look at him and say, you know what, you are good, but you're not Carson Wentz. You're not Russell Wilson. You're not Patrick Mahomes. And I think all of those things will be held against him unless he can sit in front of Jerry Jones and say, look at the wins and loss columns. Look at what I've accomplished as a leader of a team. Now you need to pay me accordingly.
Talking to Ryan Clark with us, and said the same thing. If Dak had been a first rounder for the Cowboys, yep, this deal would have been done yesterday, yep, and there would have been no problem. It would have been done, quite frankly, long before yesterday in all this. RC, when push comes to shove, is this guy playing for a different team in 2021? We know the franchise tag, a second year is an option on this one, albeit a pretty tough one. Is he playing for a different squad?
You know what? I believe he is. I just think that when you look at this deal, this isn't a Kirk Cousins situation in the sense of how Kirk wasn't necessarily a starter. He wasn't loved by Jay Gruden. I mean, Dak Prescott has really done everything and anything you could ask of him. When you look at guys like Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, who were drafted in the first round, the number one and number two pick of that draft with Dak Prescott, you can argue that on many cases he's outperformed those guys. And so for him to not have a deal, I do believe that is disrespectful. And obviously Dak plays a part in that. He was going to have to accept something. He was going to have to compromise a little bit of his value or what he thought his value was in order to get a deal done, and he wouldn't do that. And so I think when you look at his brother Ted's comments, who says, you know what, I was never a Dallas Cowboys fan in the first place, and this is a huge reason why. So going forward, I don't know how long I will continue to be a fan of this team. That says to me, around the kitchen table, when they're sitting in the kitchen and they're chilling out and they're talking man-to-man, brother-to-brother, Dak is saying some things to him, and that family is feeling disrespected in a way why I don't believe they're going to try to bend to get a deal done. And if you look at Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones, they have drawn a line in the sand about what they think about Dak Prescott. And that says to me that there's a huge possibility he'll be playing elsewhere.
We're talking to ESPN NFL analyst Ryan Clark on Golic and Wingo. Jason Fitz in for Trey Wingo with Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr. So, RC, with that being said, we all know that if any player hits the open market the first day of free agency and they get signed, which would be this sort of a magical situation, you overpay for them. So when we live in a world where the Cowboys weren't willing to overpay, are we all going to be comfortable with whatever team would sign him in this scenario overpaying for Dak? I mean, if it takes $37, $38 million a year, average annual value, are we still going to be comfortable with that?
You know what? I don't necessarily know if we are going to be comfortable with that. I think unless you have guys like Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, there's always those questions. Did you do too much? You can go back to Jared Goff's deal. Was he worth this deal? Did they do too much? Carson Wentz, after a team wins the Super Bowl without him, does he deserve this deal? Can he stay healthy? So I believe if you're not that dude, there are going to be questions. I said this early on in the offseason, before I even knew Patrick Mahomes was trying to get a new deal or going to get a new deal, I said there is no amount of money that Patrick Mahomes could ask for that I would think was absurd. It may be something that you can't do under the cap. It may be something that if you did it, you may put your team in a position to where you couldn't sign other valuable players. But there was no amount of money, no amount of years that when Patrick Mahomes came to you, he said, you know what, Pat, that's disrespectful. You and your representation are stupid. For mostly everybody else in the world, there is a number. And so if Dak Prescott gets a little more than we are expected, yeah, I think some guys are going to say, you know what, this team may have overpaid. But that's the situation with quarterbacks. If you find one that is good and that can be your quarterback for the next decade, that can hold your franchise down as a player, as a leader, as a person, sometimes you got to pay a little more for that because that's what the position warrants. So tell me why all of a sudden, after 4 years of being a good starter, last year ascending at least statistically into the top 10 in the elite of quarterbacks, would Dak Prescott be any different? And so I believe if he hits the open market, he gets a very good deal, a deal worth more than the Dallas Cowboys are willing to pay him, and he will have earned it.
Ryan Clark joining us, and this question is based off Derrick Henry leading the league in rushing and now getting the fifth best deal, what he's being paid as a running back in the league, and what we think of the running back position. Ryan, you're a defensive back. You work with defensive backs all the time to help them achieve their goals. Your son is a defensive back playing at Arizona State for Herm Edwards. I need the truthful answer here. If your son was growing up and playing and your son was a hell of a running back, would you let him keep going at running back, or would you actively try and get him out of that position?
I would actively try to get him out of position, especially based on if he had the skills to do something else.
Right.
But there's really no rhyme or reason to it. Here's what I will say, Golic, is that when you look at Derrick Henry, and I think now he's the fifth highest paid running back, I think it's about right. Even though he led the league in rushing, I don't think many people take him over Saquon Barkley. Many people take him over Christian McCaffrey, Ezekiel Elliott, maybe even a guy like Nick Chubb. And so when I look at where he comes in compensation-wise, I don't necessarily think you point to Derrick Henry as the guy you use as the standard to say that running backs are overpaid. But when you look at the totality of the market, you look at what a guy like Melvin Gordon had to settle on. Now Todd Gurley, even though he got the big deal in Los Angeles, being cut and playing for the Rams on the deal that he is on, which is a one-year basis. I think you say when the position is devalued or undervalued the way that it is, this is not something you want to do when you look at the type of the amount of carries you have to take to be considered a number one running back or a bell cow, the type of beating or the amount of physical punishment you have to take at the position, and also the length of years these guys get to play. It just doesn't seem that the reward is worth the risk, the effort, and the output that it takes to play that position. And so to me, if you're not Christian McCaffrey or Ezekiel Elliott, if people are throwing you money on a lot of it before it's even your time, it seems that the rest of these guys are overlooked. And so for me, I'd be like, hey, you go play something where you take less punishment, where you're valued more, where your career could be longer, and you also get more compensation based on what your peers and the people on your team are getting.
All right, so let's go stick with compensation and punishment then, because there's a guy who plays a position that's often compensated very well, who's dealt with a fair amount of punishment in his body during the career that has now led him to New England. RC, I remember you telling a story about seeing Cam Newton come running onto the field one time past you when you realized, all right, if quarterbacks are going to be built like that, maybe it's time that I start looking for something else to do with my time and all that. And so I wonder if now, where Cam Newton's at, coming off all the injury and the change of scenery, do you think it can still look like that? Can we still get close to the guy that he was now that he's in Foxborough?
I think you can get close to that guy. I don't believe that guy still exists, though, Junior. I think that what Cam Newton was in that MVP year was special. I think it was the beautiful combination of all of his talents, all of his confidence, all of his ability in one season. And now if you go back to 2018 for the first eight games, that was the best passer we had ever seen Cam be. And then he gets the shoulder injury against the Pittsburgh Steelers on Thursday night. And now you have to deal with the foot. So I don't necessarily know if we ever see that type of individual talent displayed from Cam Newton. But he can absolutely win. He can absolutely be a great quarterback in this league. I think it just has to look a little differently. You have to use the play calling a little differently. You can't make him your number one option on short yardage situation, but he's still an option. You can't make him your number one option on goal line situations, but he's still an option. And so that allows you to do so much more with your playbook. But this is going to depend on Cam Newton's health. If Cam Newton is healthy, I still believe he's an elite and great quarterback in this league. And when you have a guy like Josh McDaniels and the New England Patriots organization, we know that they can morph into whatever they need to be each week to win. The huge part is this. When you look at Cam Newton's deal and you look at the way he was dealt with in free agency, what the New England Patriots have essentially done is given him $500,000 to come in for a tryout. Because the one thing we know about this team is if you don't fit what they want to do as far as the Patriot way, quote unquote, if you don't fit what they want to do as an offense, if you're not good enough that they feel you can help them win a championship, you will no longer be a member of that team. So Cam Newton is going to have a very short time to not only show him he can be the starter, but to show him that he is, show them that he is worth keeping around because he is close to what we used to know as Superman.
Ryan Clark, ESPN NFL analyst. Great stuff as always, my friend. Thanks for joining us. I hope you and yours are safe. Stay safe, and thanks for the expertise.
My man, have a great day.
Smart stuff from RC, and he's right, especially when he's talking about at the end, like, when you really look at what Cam Newton is for the Patriots, I mean, this is as low a risk investment as the Patriots could possibly make. They give themselves the opportunity to see a player that, if he's healthy, I think we all agree is epic. It costs them very little money to do it. And now you get Cam with a, you know, with the chip on his shoulder coming in. And if his body, and I know that's a big if, but if his body holds up, my God, I mean, they're going to be a great football team.
This is standard operating procedure for the Patriots. I mean, they've done it. It's worked sometimes, and it hasn't worked sometimes. But either way, it's low risk. Low risk, and you're looking for high reward. And you can get it with Cam, and then you see if it works out. You see what goes on from there, and it's good for Cam. He's going to get to showcase himself in one hell of an offense that they know they can build around him a little bit. And Josh McDaniel can do some things with him that he couldn't do with Tom Brady. So, man, this could be an absolute win-win.
Yeah, I understand that for some people, you know, for people who apparently don't like fun or anything like that, Cam's personality might not vibe with them. I don't know how you don't root for Cam Newton to succeed purely on what's capable. Like I always said, I watch sports to watch people do stuff that I never could have dreamed of doing. Right. Cam Newton is the most unique skill set to ever play quarterback in the NFL. Like, period. At least I think. Like, I don't think you've ever seen someone, I almost say something because he's otherworldly in the way that he's built and all this, that is built to do the things that he has done.
And I think to the point you made of what Ryan Clark said when he saw him run by him on the field, I equate that with like an NBA game. Until you go to an NBA game and you are on the same level as those guys and go, oh my God, they're so tall and so big, and they move so well and handle the ball and have quickness, incredible feet. You're like, how does a person that large do that? That's the same with Cam. You see Cam, and if you got to see him on the same level and go, oh my God, this is a tight end. This is an unbelievably athletic tight end. This is an edge rusher who is playing quarterback. And I agree with you because we look at size. You look at Ben Roethlisberger's like that size, but obviously nowhere near.
Well, like I say, he's not the build. He's not the athlete. He's
not the athlete at all. So you see a guy that big and you see Ben move around the pocket and guys bounce off him every now and then. But you see Cam being an actual athlete and running and being a dangerous runner for a guy that size.
Well, I guess that's what I mean. Like, I want to see someone who does stuff that, like, does this kind of stuff. And this is what he hinted at with Josh McDaniels. Like, you can do things with me you didn't do with Tom Brady. And that's the whole idea, is take a creative play caller, give him a guy, and now use it a little more judiciously. We know, and this is part Cam, like him functioning in the offense, Carolina, I always said, part of it was you needed to let him do the thing that he liked doing. He liked being involved in the running game. You saw the kind of energy he brought to it. When Cam got a couple of early carries, and I think this is going to be the key, if you find the right spots for a couple early carries for Cam where you, A, get the defense off balance, but more importantly, put him in a spot where he feels like he's a part of it in that way. He gets to go out there and get wind in his sails, because when Cam's got the wind at his back, there are a few guys better to have on your side than that.
And now we know Lamar Jackson is an unbelievable runner. We get that. I get it. But he's not the size of Cam. They're
different. Russell Wilson is great when he's mobile. Andrew Luck used to be a great mobile quarterback. Yes. Ryan Tannehill's got some of that to his game.
Like, and Andrew Luck, quite honestly, was the closest in weight. Andrew Luck was like 240. I don't think people really realized how big he was.
But he wasn't like, you know, no, you know there's quarterbacks that like are more natural ball carriers that can just do it in a way where it looks comfortable. Yeah, and it never looked comfortable like that to Andrew.
We've talked a lot about bad coaching, and I understand that there's a lot of bad coaching in the NFL, but there are also great coaches in the NFL. And I'm not sure why when players, star players move, we suddenly presume that the coaches that they're going to play for have lost their minds and have no idea what they're doing. Josh McDaniels has the hype he has because he's already shown, and he did it in Denver with Tebow, that he will adjust his offense and make the most of the talent that he has. I find it hard to believe that Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick suddenly forgot how to coach, or they're so limited in how they coach that they can only coach one thing one way.
No
the
shot.
Reason that they're great yes. is because they
Absolutely.
Will be able to vary to those skills.
Absolutely
so that,
right.
That's part of why I believe that we're underselling how good Cam's going to be to the Patriots.
No, absolutely. That's been a tough part of it. So very little stress there. Dad and I have been stressed all morning about everything going on without our Twitter accounts yep. right now. We asked you guys at Golic and Wingo. Cleveland was voted and ranked. Did you see this, Dad? Your
I
hometown,
did see this.
The most stressed city in America.
They did like use like 42-point system or something and came up with this. Seriously?
Yep. And so we asked you, and we'll get to more of these before we end the show. But who or what from your favorite sports team could push your city's stress level past Cleveland? We'll get to some of those in a little bit. But at Golic and Wingo, keep hitting us with those. I can't see them. Our Ali, our producer on our show,
either.
Is doing a great job of getting us some. Jason can see them. So we'll get to those as we round things out here. But
seriously.
At Golic and Wingo, what's stressing you out as much as apparently everyone where you grew up, Dad?
Why Cleveland? What's going on?
I don't know, but there's already one answer that makes me want to throw my laptop and run in traffic.
SportsCenter update, Twitter, we still need help. Washington Mystic star Elena Delladon will be paid her salary this season by the Washington Mystics because they have put her on the roster and said even if she shows up or not, her choice, she will still get paid because she was denied that medical exemption by the panel of doctors when she had talked about her having Lyme disease for a number of years. The doctor said the CDC did not think that was made her, you know, put
high
her
risk.
In a position of high risk for COVID 19. So Washington will pay her salary whether she shows or not. In the NFL, the Titans agree to a 4-year, $50 million contract extension, $25.5 million guaranteed. $12.5 million average annual value makes him the fifth highest paid running back in the league. He did lead the league in rushing last year and was tied for most rushing touchdowns in the league. And it's Wednesday night. We had a $1 million winner out there. That'd be Chase Elliott. Became the third youngest driver to win NASCAR's All-Star Race, doing so in front of an estimated 20,000 fans at Bristol Motor Speedway. For the win, the 24-year-old got $1 million. Joined his father, Bill Elliott, as the only two drivers to win an All-Star Race away from its traditional spot in Charlotte. On this date, July 16th, 2013, Mariano Rivera pitches a 1-2-3 inning during All-Star Game MVP in his final season. Of his 19 seasons in the bigs, 13 of those ended up with an All-Star appearance.
SportsCenter is brought to you by Goodyear. Goodyear believes that movement drives us forward, and they believe in the importance of a pit stop. Sometimes that's all it takes, a moment to pause before we all start moving again. So as you get ready for the road ahead, Goodyear's here to help. Visit Goodyear.com to learn more.
It's Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio, ESPN News.
It's a dad taking a sip out of his bottle right into the mic.
Swing of my bottle, so I thought I had the mic far enough away.
I was sitting here. I was like, are we under attack?
Jason Fitz in for Trey Wingo, sitting with Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and obviously all eyes are on the bubble in Orlando right now. Let's head there via the Shell Penzo Performance Line, where we're joined by ESPN NBA reporter Malika Andrews. Malika, thank you so much for the time. Appreciate you hanging out with us. So the snitch line seems to be a big topic of conversation. I got to get the scoop on it. Like, how much are guys, like, how much is there a buzz within the facilities around the snitch line in general?
You know, I mean, you hear Rudy Gobert saying that he thinks that it's just a little bit petty and he doesn't really expect to be using it. You hear Dante DiVincenzo with the Bucks saying he understands why it's there. He thinks it's a necessity, but he doesn't really see himself using it. And then you got Doc Rivers out here wild and saying that he's going to be calling it on every team until the Clippers are the only one left. But in all seriousness, I mean, there are signs that are posted all around campus that say, if you see someone who is committing some sort of violation, this is the number that you can call. And also on the back of credentials for every media member, every player, every coach, there is a barcode you can scan in the app to report a violation. And to be honest, we need to retire. I agree with what Jalen said on Get Up this morning. We need to retire. It's called the snitch line, because this line is put in place to report people not wearing a mask. I know I'm not wearing one right now, but there is nobody else around me and I am outside. I've seen people inside who aren't socially distancing, who aren't wearing a mask. And what in a power imbalance, who is going to walk up to a player who makes significantly more than them, who is in a significant position of power over them, and say, hey, you need to follow the rules for all of our safety. It's safer to do it anonymously.
Absolutely, and that's exactly why it's put in there. It needs, you're right, it needs rebranding in this situation. So we'll get to work on that. But you mentioned you're outside. So where are you at in this process? You're you know, really one of the first people we've seen make this foray into the bubble. So where are you at in this process? And now what are you allowed to do as you've gone through the protocol?
Yeah, so I cleared quarantine. I can't even remember what day it is, to be honest with you, gentlemen, but I cleared quarantine over a week ago. We'll go with that. Maybe we've been here for 2.5 weeks, I think. I'm starting to lose track of time in here. But I'm essentially allowed to roam around the campus. But remember, the hotels are kind of spread out, so you can't just walk across the street to another hotel that houses other staff or teams or players or whomever. I'm kind of confined to the hotel that I'm staying at, which also houses teams. And then I go to practice. I go to about 2 practices a day right now. I'm kind of meandering around, kind of seeing what there is to see, watching guys fish. That's become a very popular activity during their downtime. But I really don't have as many restrictions on me now that I have cleared quarantine. My food is no longer delivered to my room. I can get that at the restaurants on campus. I can order from the pre-approved restaurants through the campus app. That's different than Uber Eats. That will get you in trouble because they're not necessarily following the protocol that the league has set.
Well, I tell you what, there have been some nice bass pulled out of those lakes. There's no doubt about that. I've been very intrigued by that. So, Malika, again, going back to the line that they can call, and, you know, everybody is having their fun with it to an extent, but we saw a couple of guys inadvertently, they say, break the rules, and it cost them 10 days of quarantine. I'm just wondering, if there is somebody who calls that line and said so-and-so wasn't wearing a mask or something like that, and that person admits that, is there discipline to that? Is there, well, if you didn't, because you didn't have your mask on for a while, that was unsafe, you have to go back into quarantine. Is there something like that, or is it just basically, hey, wear your mask?
Well, there's certainly some tiers, right, to the potential consequences that you faced. If you were to leave campus and be directly exposed, potentially, even though it was an accident that those players did that, if you were to be put in a position where you were exposed, like they potentially were, to folks who haven't been tested every day, that is why they were put back in quarantine, and it was that severe, because the NBA can't risk having someone be infected and walk around and have that be a breach of the bubble campus. But if someone, for instance, wasn't wearing a mask, they were on campus, they're walking around and potentially only interacting with other people who have been routinely testing negative, for them, they would get a official, it's an official warning from the league that comes in either written form or via, you know, a phone call. And it's an official warning. It's not something you can just, you know, brush aside. It's a couple strikes and you're out. But there are definitely tiers to the kind of consequences that one would face.
We're talking to ESPN NBA reporter Malika Andrews. She's down in the bubble in Orlando. It's Golic and Wingo. Jason Fitz in for Trey Wingo with Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr. Malika, you mentioned you've been going to a couple of practices a day. I'm really curious, after the layoffs and how long it's been since guys have been together, how does the basketball look so far?
Well, there's a range, right? You have Giannis Antetokounmpo, after one of the Bucks' recent practices, being, I would say, a little hard on himself, saying that he really felt like he did not play well at all. But we all know that Giannis has an incredibly high standard for himself. And then you have folks like Victor Oladipo, who's saying, you know, these practices have finally given me the ability to get my legs under me to the point that I may even feel comfortable playing this season, even though I ruled myself out a couple of weeks ago. And then you have folks like Kemba Walker. I was at the Celtics practice yesterday, and he was sitting on the side because right now, Brad Stevens said he's on a plan where it's every other day he's practicing, and he'd just done an incredibly hard workout the day before. So there's definitely variance to the levels of basketball that's happening, but it's slowly but surely improving, and that's what the scrimmages are for, to kind of get those basketball legs back underneath guys.
And so we know this has been multi-pronged. There's been the health portion of this. There's the basketball we come back that we've come back with. And then there's obviously the component of this tied to social justice that so many players voice concerned about. So as you've been around players and seen people start to settle back in, what has the conversation been like about what some players are still doing to try and make sure they're involved in progressing the conversation and progressing the movement that started before they got here?
Yeah, I mean, players have always said in coming to Orlando, one of the stipulations of that was that conversations around police brutality and the treatment of Black Americans is going to be front and center. And so you've seen Drew Holiday say that he is going to donate the rest of his game checks towards organizations that better the Black community. You saw that Jeremy Grant with the Denver Nuggets yesterday. Every single time, gentlemen, he was asked a question about basketball, he said something to the effect of, hey, Breonna Taylor, who was killed in March after police executed a no-knock warrant on her apartment, every time he was asked a basketball question, he said Breonna Taylor's killers are still out there. So he was refocusing those questions back to social justice. And then I talked to Nate McMillan last night with the Pacers, who said that his whole team sat down and watched Ava DuVernay's film 13th, that's about the 13th Amendment and how slavery in some ways is still legal in the United States. So it's absolutely still an active conversation that's happening on campus. And I imagine we will see it furthered when games start.
Malika, we really appreciate your time. Most importantly, stay safe while you're down there. But we appreciate the insight from the bubble in Orlando. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Thanks for having me.
Malika Andrews, ESPN NBA reporter.
So she's in the bubble. We have Rachel Nichols and Mark Spears kind of on the outside doing their quarantine until they're allowed inside the bubble. And then I guess we'll keep sending some people down there, I believe, to keep filling out some spots.
As we update kind of the perception of what's going on inside the bubble, because remember that first wave when other players were going through the quarantine that her and Rachel and Mark and others had to go through on the way in, that was when the conversation about the food and all these other things popped up. Like she mentioned, this is what we heard going in. You've got access to all the restaurants around campus. You've got a little more choice involved in all this. So I think that's why you've seen a lot of the stuff that started to come out now has been the players leaning into what's available to them around there, settling into more of the routine of basketball, because the rest of that, after we got through that initial wave of when you're stuck in your room for that extended period of time, is more manageable now. And I think that's hopefully going to start to be the conversation surrounding that portion so we can get to the basketball.
They've been there about a week, so they get into their routine now. I think we do have to get another name for the phone line. Right,
the safety line, the health and safety line.
Maybe? We'll do that a little more tomorrow at Golic and Wingo. We'll try and get another name for that line.
I didn't just nail it. Health and safety.
We're on something entertaining. Health and safety.
I mean,
is
the name of the show, Golic and Wingo. Like, there's something to just keeping it simple, right? Golic and Wingo. Like,
it does. It needs to be inviting like that. But I like the emphasis on health in the portion of this, because I think driving that home makes it all right. This is about the greater good for all of us.
Look at that.
The Health Heroes line.
Oh my God! Now
health
you went.
Heroes.
Okay, I want to put you back in middle school when somebody says, call the Health Heroes line and tell me that you don't roll your eyes and make fun of it for a week.
You're probably getting a wedgie.
You hear that line, you say somebody like Jason Fitz probably came up with that.
Oh, probably.
Another special guest joins for Last One Standing. And did the Ivy League just... Oh, my God. I almost drowned in my own saliva. Oh, my God. All right.
It's Golic and Wingo.
Your boy was hurt now.
Wow.
Man, we went to the depths on that one. That was a tease that we recorded for the Michael Kay show where I almost died. I think at that point it might have been after I'd eaten a bunch of cookies and I was creating a lot of saliva at that point and I almost drowned in it. Wow. It's like, you know when they say turkeys look up when it rains and they drown? That's like me, but with saliva.
Is that true?
I don't know. It's one of those like old wives' tales that you hear as a kid all the time. It's like, turkeys are so dumb, they look up when it rains and they drown.
Yeah.
I don't know if turkeys are actually that dumb. Like,
I'll just check it on Twitter. I'm sure Twitter will tell me the answer to that, because I still have it. I can still actively tweet. I don't know if you guys know that.
Golic and Wingo is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Cover all your bases with Straight Talk Wireless. Get the same networks as the big carriers. Only pay up to 50% less. Get the unlimited plan. 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
It's Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, Sirius XM Channel 80. Jason Fitz in for Trey Wingo, sitting with Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr. And we asked you guys to chime in on, there's a poll that has been out there, and the guys can't see these responses at all.
I can't see any of this, but apparently, yeah, Cleveland was voted the most stressed city in America, Jason.
I don't understand that.
Well, I mean, you know the most about Cleveland. Is it a stressed place?
No, I tell you what, I think it's coming back. It's come back really strong. I think it's great there. I disagree with this.
For a while. I remember one time, it was like in high school, my dad came up and like I introduced him to one of my friend's parents and they asked where he was from and he said Cleveland. And the person legitimately said, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, wow. I punched him in the face.
Well, I mean, that seems...
I didn't really, but that's what I thought of doing.
Well, we asked you guys on Twitter, Cleveland was ranked the most stressed city in America. So what we asked you, who or what from your favorite sports team could push your city's stress level past Cleveland? And the first response makes me want to throw my laptop at you guys in the head. Because Melissa says three words, Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers, which, by the way, is more than three words.
I think Green Bay Packers is three words.
Three words, yeah.
Says the Packers are just a mess every year. It's like Groundhog Day over and over and over again. Did I miss something? I mean, Groundhog Day over 13 straight years where I didn't even see anything less than double-digit losses as a Packers fan wants to complain about Groundhog Day.
Wow.
When Groundhog Day still includes Eggs Benedict, I don't want to hear about it. My Groundhog Day includes egg whites that are undercooked, all right? So, come on.
Wow.
That's all I had to say about that.
Holy smokes.
Green Bay Packers being the...
Back-to-back Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Ah, what are we going to do?
I mean...
Real tough time there, huh?
Lift everyone in Green Bay up in prayers. It's bad enough that they have ready access every day to find cheese curds and beer, and they've got to deal with back-to-back Hall of Fame quarterbacks. I don't know how they're surviving.
I mean, I threatened to throw a ticker tape parade if my beloved Raiders could just hit eight wins. Like, that's an eight wins parade, okay?
Maybe that's why Cleveland's up there, because they did it when they said to go 0-for. They're going to throw.
Yeah, that's fair point.
So, again, who or what for your favorite sports team could push your city stress level past Cleveland? Daniel said Tua Tagovailoa going down with an injury during his first practice with no timetable for return.
Oh, my
God.
That
would do it. See, man, like, we can't even speak that one out loud. That's scary.
Awful.
That makes my skin crawl.
No.
David said, Detroit, we used to win championships and make the playoffs in almost every sport. Now we can't even win a draft lottery when we have the best odds. Like, I get that. Detroit's got to be very stressed,
Well, I mean, that's, like, overall, too. Like, you look at the state of sports, and, I mean, maybe we just think of football and basketball specifically, too, but, like, the football team, it seems like you have this quarterback that everyone seems to love, Matt Stafford, this universally lauded gunslinger of a quarterback who, you know, just gets hurt at inopportune times, or you alienate your stars like Calvin Johnson. It's tough. The Knicks is an easy answer. Jason, the Knicks have been pushing our stress levels by critical for decades now. Another very easy, low-hanging one, and then the obvious, Brandon, 28-3.
Oh, yeah. That one's going to go there.
Fans of Atlanta sports teams are uniquely stressed in a way.
Yeah, Emily.
I buy that. Yeah, I buy that particularly.
Emily does say, I'm a Yankee fan. We flip out if someone has a hangnail. And boy, God knows that team has had more than hangnails for some of their players.
So. Yeah, that's sort of like the Green Bay problems, though, where I don't know if anyone's going to listen to Yankee
problems. Not at all. Not one bit. Just like nobody wants to hear issues about anybody in New England. You know, the teams there and all the parades they've gone through as of late.
Now, Scott says, stressed out Cleveland resident here. My fear and prayer is that the Tribe will win the World Series this year, but it will feel hollow due to all the weirdness around the season. 60 games, lots of folks not playing, no fans in attendance. There probably wouldn't even be a parade.
Could you
win a World
that?
Series, though. Like, does it matter if anybody, like, I don't care if they played three games. If your favorite team gets crowned the champion, you buy the gear, right? You buy everything that says World Champions.
You do, but you don't get, you know, that payoff of, like, that parade, you know, where, my God, when Cleveland had that parade when LeBron and the Cavs won the championship and how awesome that was. You're right. You would get ripped off of that, because I'm sure there wouldn't be a parade.
There wouldn't be a parade, but, man, I don't know. After seeing Liverpool won the English Premier League, and after that, you saw all of the fans, like thousands of them, start to congregate outside of there. And it was one of those situations where they didn't find out they won until another game happened, point system that works over there. And so you saw thousands of fans flock to their stadium in a way that everyone admitted and looked at and said, that's probably not the safest way to do all of this, but fans found one way or another to celebrate a moment like that that they felt long overdue. I'd have to imagine if it was a suffering fan base, they would probably, unfortunately, put that at risk in a way that we wouldn't condone or hope they would.
But from a player standpoint, I would think no differently about it. I'd say I'm the World Series champ. It's all that matters.
I mean,
oh, for a player, it's easy because you got the hard work.
That's exactly right. See this ring? Yeah, yeah.
And I'm telling you, like, yes, there's always going to be in a social media world, there's always going to be people that hate on whatever championship is won by anybody, you know. But at some point, I will still look at it and say, if all we get is 8 games in the NFL season and somehow my beloved Raiders are to win the Super Bowl, I don't care. I'm buying all the Sports Illustrated swag.
Yeah,
I ugly cry for a week in the corner just out of pure joy. Like, nothing will take that joy away from me.
This is, and we talked about, like, the different levels of problems and stressors in all this. Like, yours is a Raider, different from Green Bay, New England, and stuff like that. That's probably what we're dealing with in Dallas, right? Like, everyone there is stressed by this situation. We heard a very frustrated brother of Dak Prescott, for a guy that most people look at and say, you're going to make $31 million
exactly,
this year.
Yeah.
And the outside world, sans football, is going to look at that and say, you don't got problems like we do, but we understand this has been a long-term symptom of the relationship with him and the Cowboys, where they don't see him the same way.
So getting to real problems here in the last minute of the show, do you think at some point I'm just going to be able to turn it on and my Twitter will be back, or do you think you and I are going to have to do something proactive to try and get it back?
So here's the thing. There's not going to be a you and I in this situation. You're going to make me do all of this because you trying to negotiate this with Twitter isn't something that's necessarily in the tool
belt.
Okay,
you're right. So what will you have to do to get my Twitter up and running again?
More than I want to. Jack, help me, all right? I feel like I've been a pretty good Twitterer. I feel like I've lived by the rules and regulations and all of this pretty well during the course of this. I haven't been suspended. I haven't had a bunch of tweets taken down. So maybe just help me out here. You got through the tough stuff yesterday. You fixed all the important people stuff. Help me now.
Are you sure you just don't want to DM them? It seems like that would be the easiest solution, is just to DM somebody and maybe see if Twitter can help. Oh.
You know what? This is the best part about not being online, though, is I can personally deliver this fist to you. When we
yeah, there you go.
I don't need to DM it.
Unfortunately, I can't even outrun it. Friday on Go Look and Wingo, Tom Rinaldi, That Bites, Love It or Shove It, Damian Woody, and much, much more. Thanks for hanging out with us.